Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to the Humaning Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Lloyd, and I love that you're here. From a young age, I've been asking life the big questions, and it's led me down some interesting rabbit holes. I'm going to be sharing with you some of the ideas, theories, practices, and ways of being that have made my life easier, better, and more fulfilling. We're going to explore what it means to be human, from the weird and the wild to the utterly wonderful, and we're going to talk about how we can do it in a way that not only leads to amazing results, but feels good in the process. Come on, let's human together. Welcome to the Humaning Podcast. My name is Michaela Lloyd, and I'm very happy to be journeying with you today. I'm not sure if you're listening live on your Sunday morning through Arrow FM, or if you've got your headphones plugged in, you're listening on Spotify and you're going for a walk or living your best life. Either which way, I'm just so glad that you're here and taking a little time to care for yourself, which is a large part of what today's episode is all about. Now, in the Humaning Podcast, we're going to dive deep in all kinds of different directions. I love being high level. I love being strategic. I love almost talking about things about being human that don't necessarily need to be said. I love using different modalities like human design and all different types of ways of conceptualizing what it means to be human. I love breaking us down into little pieces and putting ourselves back together. And I also love sharing ideas that have been groundbreaking for me and for people that I know, and being super practical around how we can really make the most of our human experience and how we can love being alive. And so today we're going for the latter. Today we're being super practical and discussing something that through applying this has made my life feel so much better from the inside out. So today we're talking about taking exquisite care of ourselves. That may sound a little bit lame, it may sound a little bit fluffy, and it is. I'm unapologetic about that fact. But that's how I think of it. When I think of self-care, it really is taking beautiful care of ourselves. You know, treating ourselves as we would a loved one, treating ourselves as we would our child, treating ourselves as we would treat a beautiful, gorgeous puppy. Putting ourselves first can sound a little bit almost offensive for some people. If you're a mum like me, then you know that putting yourself first is not exactly putting yourself first, because you have that instinct first and foremost to provide and care. And sometimes we just have straight up obligations that we really can't renege on. And if we do, I mean, we're going to judge the crap out of ourselves, let's be honest. So when it comes to taking care of ourselves, it sounds like a nice to have. It sounds like something that's good to do if we have time. It sounds like something we'll get to later, but right now we've got a whole lot of dishes to tend to and work and school pickups and all those kinds of things. I would argue, though, that taking care of ourselves really does need to be one of our first and foremost priorities. You may have heard the oxygen mask analogy, where, you know, we have to put on our own oxygen mask first and we have to take care of ourselves in order to take care of each other. But it really is a relevant example. If we are burnt out, if we are feeling spread thin, if we are feeling resentful from all the things either we have to do or the things that we've decided to do because we feel like we have to or we should, or we feel this internalized pressure, then that energy really does seep out. We can be doing the quote unquote kind thing and doing the nice actions. We can be serving others and putting other people's needs first. But if that leaves us feeling resentful, angry, bitter, depleted, then that seeps out into our environment. So while technically we may be putting our kids first or our partner first or our mother-in-law first or our obligations in any area of our life first, if it is leaving us depleted, then we are bringing that depleted energy. And while our actions may be quote unquote correct, our energy is bringing all kinds of bad juju. We're doing the quote unquote right things, but our energy is showing... Our energy is showing we don't want to be there, or we're actually secretly bitter about it, and as good as we can be about putting on a poker face and hiding that stuff, we are all energetic, interconnected beings. And if we're not feeling good doing something, then we are imbuing that intention into our action. So it's really important we separate from those things that we do for the love of it, and even the things we do for the necessity, but making sure we're taking care of ourselves first, so that when we do those things that we need to do, or those things that we want to do, our energy is correct, and we're actually bringing that energy of love and generosity rather than that energy of bitterness and resent, because we're like, well, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Like, if I don't do it, it's not getting done, which may or may not be correct. But if we are not taking the time to take care of ourselves and giving ourselves the things that we need to feel happy in our life, then we will feel resentful. And very often we actually do have a choice. There are small ways throughout our day, no matter how busy you are, no matter how much is on your plate, there are opportunities in every day to take micro moments of self-kindness. Or little things, little fun things, little things that fill your cup up. You know, it might just be taking 5 minutes to do the stuff quiz, or it might just be going for that quick walk, or it might just be having that cup of tea and that piece of chocolate and keeping your phone in the other room, and, or, you know, going down to your room, closing the door and letting your kids take care of themselves. There are micro moments throughout every day that we can be kind to ourselves, and oftentimes we deprive ourselves of that because we put other people's priorities before our own. And if that fills your cup, if that feels good, great. But very often we realize, oh, I'm actually feeling resentful. Oh, I've actually become a better biddy because I'm signing up to things that I don't want to. So through actually learning to take exquisite care of ourselves, we get to role model what it's like to be a happy, healthy, well, fulfilled human being. And we get to role model that for everyone. At first, taking care of ourselves can seem like a selfish act. It can seem self-indulgent. And that is a lot of the conditioning we have often got from our mothers and from society and from previous generations, whether they intended to or not. We've often learnt that the best thing to do and the kind thing to do is to put everyone else before ourselves. And if we don't do that, we're a selfish human being. If we don't put everyone else first, then we're not a good human being. Whether that was consciously stated or whether it was just role modeled through the people in our lives' actions, very often we've incepted this conditioning that in order to be a good, loving human being, we need to put ourselves last. And that's just not the way anymore. If we want to actually have a fulfilled existence, then it's important that we actually enjoy the journey. And if we never take a moment for ourselves, then that's just not going to happen. And yes, we still want to do the nice things. We still want to do the kind things. We still have those obligations. And giving and being generous is a very innate part of what it means to be human. Humans, when our needs are met, we're naturally generous. We naturally take care of others, especially when they're our own, especially when they're within our tribe. We have those nurturing or protective instincts as part and parcel of who we are. And if we deny ourselves of that and we try and put ourselves above everyone else and we neglect that need within ourselves to nurture and take care of other people, then we're also going to feel unfulfilled. So it really is a balancing act, but it's very important we get clear on what are our driving motivations behind giving. And why is it that we feel uncomfortable receiving? Or why is it that we feel uncomfortable doing these things for ourselves when if a girlfriend asked us or if our child asked us, we'd be like, of course, do the thing, have fun, you deserve it. But it can be really easy for our mind to rationally justify why actually with this half an hour of time, I need to prep dinner instead of going and soaking in the bath or whatever it is that you want to do. Now, of course, self-care is not just bubble baths. It is not just going on a shopping spree or whatever you think self-care looks like, because very often self-care starts with self-kindness. It's more about how we treat ourselves when we're by ourselves than anything else. You know, it's about how we talk to ourselves in our own mind as opposed to the transactions on our credit card. Now, before we dive into the how-to of taking exquisite care of ourselves, let's just take an extra second to acknowledge how hard it can be to do that. There is a lot within the world that's set up to make us not want to take good care of ourselves. We have incepted a lot of conditioning and programming, whether it's from our parents, the world at large, that has told us we need to put other people first. And very often this was never stated, it was just shown through their role modeling. So most women of previous generations, unless they were the outliers or the problem child, have a tendency of putting other people's needs first. That was what was expected, that was what was required, and very often they do that automatically without even questioning it. And I've noticed a pattern now that I am at that age and stage in my life when my parents and my friends' parents, my partner's parents are reaching that retirement age. I've noticed a pattern within sort of menopausal, perimenopausal women whereby if they have been putting everyone else's needs before themselves, very often they experience some type of chronic or unexpected illness that requires them to focus completely on themselves. It's almost like life is gracious and at times a bit of a dick, whereby if we don't learn to actually make ourselves healthy and well and prioritize our well-being, there will be something that happens outside of our control that forces us to look at that. I don't want to air out anyone else's dirty laundry, but I'm going to kind of use a personal example. Mom, I hope you don't mind. But my mum is such a gorgeous human being. Everyone loves my mum. You know, she was that mum that when she would come into the schoolyard, you know, kids would just flock to her. And she just has such warm, loving energy. And she's so quick to do nice things for other people or to say kind words to other people. She's definitely been a powerful role model for what it means to be kind and loving and what it means to just be generous of spirit in terms of other people. But being of that generation that she is, it's very uncomfortable to take time out for those things that you need. And being a mother of four as well, you know, you don't always have that much time to put yourself first. And while she may have a different reason in her mind for why what happened happened, she experienced an awful health situation. She was diagnosed with some type of meningioma. I'm sorry, I once knew this off by heart, but it's a very niche word. It was scary. She had a giant brain tumor. It was a mysterious illness. But this sort of thing that slowly started to plague her, slowly started to cause her to withdraw from the world. And long story short, while it was scary and a little bit dicey for a while, she had a successful operation. And now she's, how long are we? You know, about 8 years later, she's thriving. She's doing really, really well. And in her recovery period, she had to really withdraw from the world. And rather than putting other people first, she all of a sudden had to spend time taking care of her needs. She had no choice. Life took that choice away from her and forced her to just prioritize her well-being. Now, there could have been a million reasons for that. Maybe I'm just making meaning where it doesn't exist, but I have noticed a pattern with women where they have a tendency of caring for everyone else because they're such lovely, kind-hearted people, but also have internalized the pressure to be the one that takes care of everyone, whereby oftentimes when they reach that menopausal age, if they haven't learned to take care of themselves and put their needs first, life kind of puts them on their ass. And I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. And so I think it's really important we actually take this idea seriously of putting ourselves first before life gives us no choice. If we can focus on our well-being in the little moments, if we can prioritize our well-being when no one's looking or when it doesn't really matter, then it means that in the big things in life, maybe life doesn't need to give us such a shock to realign us with who we came here to be. Now, also another reason why it's hard is that oftentimes our relationships can be set up where we're the giver or we're the caretaker. I remember actually around the same time as when Mum was sick, I had a relationship breakdown, which now many years later we have overcome and she's still one of my best friends. But we had this sort of like relationship bust up, which is very uncommon for me. I'm sort of someone who, if I've loved you once, I never let you go. But we realized that our relationship was kind of broken in the sense of it was set up in a codependent way. And I realized, and this was around the time that I started life coaching, I had set up this friendship in a way where I felt like I need to solve her problems. You know, we became friends at a time in her life where she was going through massive change and upheaval, just moved towns, just gone through a traumatic breakup, was challenging her identity and going through this massive growth portal, but there was also like a death portal. And here I swooped in wanting to, you know, unconsciously, I guess, be the savior, be the one that could help, the one that provided the answers. And because I was just about to start my life coaching practice, I had all this energy of wanting to help people and wanting to guide people, but not appropriate, pathways to channel it. And so when I started coaching and was helping people and was guiding people and had like an appropriate outlet for that want within me to support people, and I started to withdraw that specific kind of support from that friend, our relationship crumbled. You know, we'd built our relationship on this codependent framework. And so when all of a sudden I wanted to have healthier boundaries or just be a friend, you know, have that same kind of mutual relationship, the relationship faltered because it wasn't set up in that mutually beneficial way. And so now, you know, we've both done away, you know, I needed to go through my own healing process. It was very much, we both had some stuff to work on. But now we have a beautiful friendship because we both honor our needs in that friendship, and we both know what our relationship is and what it isn't. We both know that it's our primary responsibility to take care of ourselves, and a friendship is a place that you can go, and of course you can offload, you can vent, and at times we do want advice from our friendships. But if our relationships are set up so that we're always the giver and we always go above and beyond, then people in our lives just automatically expect to take. It's not because they're selfish, it's not because they're greedy, but that's just the flow that they're going with. If someone loves to give and give and give, of course we're going to take, why wouldn't we? And so it can be hard when we first try to establish our boundaries or to put ourselves first, that some relationships get a bit awkward or uncomfortable if we've been set up as the giver. There can be this uncomfortable transition period where all of a sudden we need to empower others to take care of themselves. You know, I see this in myself as a mother. I've got a 4-year-old, and I realize that so often I do so many things that I probably don't need to be doing, and in many ways are disempowering. You know, like putting on his shoes and socks. Little homeboy is going to need to learn at some point how to do that, and he's starting to learn, but there are other kids, you know, and oftentimes they're the youngest of 4 or come from big families that are putting on their shoes and socks from like the age of 2. And I'm like, man, I've been coddling this kid, doing it out of love or doing it out of this expectation that, like, of course I do it. That's just what mums do. Of course they put their kids' shoes and socks on. But also realizing that actually I'm not helping him by doing these things for him, because he does need to learn one day. And, you know, I often think for myself, you know, being the youngest of 4, my parents were amazing and they did so much for us. And if mum couldn't cook, dad cooked. And if dad couldn't cook, you know, it kind of went down the line and never did it fall on me. And so when I went away to uni, I didn't know how to chop a freaking onion. I didn't know how to provide for myself. I knew how to cook noodles and pasta, and my specialty was making an omelette, which in hindsight, pretty crap omelette. I didn't know how to do anything to take care of myself. And so while I was navigating this moving towns, starting new relationships, starting new friendships, starting university, all these kinds of things, I was also having to deal with so much unnecessary crap because people had very kindly been taking care of me. I mean, what a privilege problem. Like, what a privilege problem I'm talking about right now. Being like, oh, my parents loved me too much. Oh, my parents supported me too much. But it's just an example where sometimes the areas that we overgiven sometimes can actually be disempowering. And sometimes through withdrawing that energy and overgiving that we are doing, sometimes we actually enable these people to flourish and to genuinely be empowered. All right, so enough of this preamble. Let's get down to some practical ways that we can actually take care of ourselves. I mean, it's really quite simple. Ultimately, we need to get clear on what we need and what we want, and give it to ourselves. Like, that is the long and the short of it, and that is something I will keep coming back to until you're bored of me saying it. But it really is a matter of getting clear on what we need and what we want and giving it to ourselves. And especially when this is a new habit, it's very handy if we focus first on what we need. If we're not used to giving ourselves what we need, then going for what we want is so frivolous and flippant and feels so unnecessary. But very often, it can show up in the little ways. And if we get good at doing it in the little ways, it helps in the big things in life. So checking in with ourselves regularly and being like, what do I need? And I found for me, starting with like my primal, simple, animalistic instincts is really helpful. So say, for instance, just continually checking in with ourselves and being like, what do we need? Very often, the answer is water. Or very often, it's like, I need to go for a pee. Or very often, we're like, oh, I could do with a snack. You know, like getting attuned to asking ourselves what we need, even in those simple ways. And then the clincher is giving it to ourselves. You know, like if I need to go for a pee, and I also need to quickly fold a few pieces of washing, I kind of have a general policy that my need comes first. So if I need to pee, rather than pushing it off for something that doesn't really matter, my general policy is I give myself what I need first. And it's because then we're sort of learning in little ways that, oh, I matter. Oh, what I need actually is important. And very often the thing can wait. And sometimes it's just easy to quickly do the thing. And then you go for a pee and you relax even more because you've done the thing. And that's fine because, you know, you're doing it in a way that supports you. But if we can get really good at continually asking ourselves and checking in and being like, what do we need? Especially in those moments where we find ourselves kind of out of sorts. If we find ourselves between activities and we're like, oh, I don't know what I want to do. Or in those moments of like, icky, sort of uncomfortable emotions, we can often make things bigger or worse than they need to be. And so often it can be really useful just asking ourselves, what do I need in this moment? Rather than trying to solve the world's problems, or rather than like buying into our mind's catastrophes, it can be really grounding and really useful to focus and to focus on something as simple as, what do I need right now? You might need a bit of quiet. You might be feeling like stimulation overload and there's all these sounds and your kids are throwing crap at your face and there's three different iPads on and it's just like, ugh. And if you ask yourself, what do you need? You're just like, I just need a bit of silence. I literally just need to step outside for a second, close the ranch slider and just have 2 minutes with my feet in the grass, hearing nothing. Self-care isn't always the big things. It can be in those little moments, because if we get really good at the little moments, then when it does come to the bigger things, you know, we might be like, you know what? Me and the girls, we need to go for our weekend getaway. We deserve it. Like when it comes to the bigger things, it feels so much more natural when we are stretching ourselves on a daily basis to give ourselves what we need. And then, you know, especially when you're in those in-between moments, asking ourselves, what do I want, is really empowering. And I found for me, really confronting, and confronting in a way that I didn't expect. I found it so confronting to ask myself, what do I want? Because the answer was so often, I don't know. And I realized how disconnected I can be from what I genuinely desire. Like if you ask me on a Tuesday, what do I want for dinner? I don't freaking know. It's very challenging for me to accept the fact that very often I'm not sure of what I want. I have to keep asking myself. It's not like a one and done thing. I can't tell you if I want chicken or if I want a curry or whatever it is that I want. And so it's just a daily practice for me to slowly get more and more attuned with the things that light me up. Because when we can give ourselves what we need and what we want, we are honestly so much better in our everyday life, and we are so much better in relationships. Like, I am a better employee if when I am in my personal time, I am filling my cup and I'm doing things that make me happy. If I spend my weekend doing fun things or doing things that make me feel so fulfilled, when I rock into the office on Monday morning, I am an amazing employee because I feel satisfied within my personal life that I can bring myself fully to my work. same as in relationships. If we've had an amazing day and we've done the things we want to do, you know, that mixture between the things that we needed to do, those things nagging us on our to-do list, and the things that bring us joy, when our partner comes home at the end of the day and we give them a big old kiss and wrap our arms around them and ask them how their day was, we can be so present and we can be so alive because we feel fulfilled within ourselves. If we are constantly going from thing to thing to thing to thing, and all of that is what's important to other people and none of it's what's important to us, when our partner comes home, we're like, we're unconsciously taking from them because we haven't given to ourselves. And of course, we're allowed to do that in partnership. We're allowed to vent. We don't have to be the best version of ourselves all the time. But the same goes for all areas of our life. It goes for with our kids. If we are doing those things to fill our cup, then we can be present with them when we're playing those, let's be honest, sometimes really lame games with our kids. Like, I've got a 4-year-old. Anytime I try and play with him in a fun way, he finds a way to make up a silly rule that makes it not fun for me. But if I have had a great day and if I've done some nice things for myself and I've ticked some of my things off my to-do list, because that's a self-care practice too, you know, it enables us to not be stressed or have anxiety when we try and go to sleep if we've done the things we know we need to do. But I am a much more present and patient mum if my cup is filled within myself. So we need to constantly get clear on what we need and what we want and give it to ourselves and give ourselves permission. Like, seriously, if we don't take care of ourselves, who will? Because even if we're not in the habit of being nice to ourselves, then when other people try and do nice stuff for us, if we're not in the habit of giving it to ourselves, our instinct will be to push that away. Whether it's the compliment or whether it's the offer to buy your coffee or whether it's an unexpected gift, we unconsciously crap on people's generosity if we're not in the habit of receiving. We're like, no, 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 it's fine. Or like, oh, you shouldn't have. It's like, of course they knew they didn't have to. But like, if our response for someone doing something kind to us is you shouldn't have, like, way to crap on their generosity. The better we get at giving to ourselves, the more generous of spirit we can be to people when they are being generous to us. Because if someone is kind to us, if someone is generous to us, and we can receive it openly, appreciatively, with so much warmth and love because we know how to receive, then we are also giving to them. If we give someone a gift and they love it and they receive it and they're so grateful for it, we feel good ourselves. So learning how to take care of ourselves, there are so many beautiful flow-on effects of this. And like, in terms of the internal peace, very often the most powerful acts of self-care really are those little intangible things, like the words that we say to ourselves. It's choosing to give ourselves compassion and grace in a situation where we messed up. Or it's, you know, if we're running late, rather than stressing ourselves out in a situation where now we can't change it, it's giving ourselves grace and being like, oh, well, now that I can't change it, I may as well turn up the radio and enjoy this time or focus on this lovely podcast I'm listening to while I'm going to my destination, because I can't change it. So I'm not going to judge myself for something. Yeah, maybe in the future I'll try and be better with time management. But in situations that we can't change, it's so important that we give ourselves compassion and grace. And also over time, slowly questioning the beliefs we have within ourselves that make us feel unworthy of receiving nice things or of taking time to ourselves. It's slowly rewriting and questioning those beliefs that yield so much results in the long term. If we're like, man, all of the stuff that she's saying, it's a great idea, and I know this to be true, like in my head, of course, duh, obviously, take good care of yourself. But when it comes to actually applying that, it's really, really difficult. All I would ask is that you stay curious and stay open, rather than being like, either dismissing this idea as obviously it's not important if I don't feel comfortable doing this, because that can be, you know, a deep-seated belief we have that's probably not serving us. It can be easy to dismiss it, or it can be easy to turn against ourselves and be like, man, I'm so worthless. I can't even get this right. Like, man, I'm so worthless. I struggle to take care of myself. Like, how freaking fundamental. Like, we don't need to do any of that. We can just stay curious and stay open to, man, that's interesting. Why is this difficult for me? Man, that's so interesting. Where do I think this came from? Like, when I was younger, or even in my life now, who do I see that I might be getting this pattern from? Like, what could be causing this to be so freaking difficult for me when it might be so easy for someone else? And so when we can stay curious about our patterns, we allow the deeper parts of our subconscious to reveal the answers to us. It's like trying to get that broken piece of eggshell out with your fingers. If you're too forceful and if you go in with an agenda of like, man, I'm so broken, show me why I'm broken, it's just going to keep evading you. Whereas when we go in with a bit of love and kindness and a bit of curiosity with an open mind, then that's when we are like the eggshell that's scooping up the eggshell. Having an open mind around this and not taking it all so seriously is really important, because very often this is a journey and we might find that the little things or certain things are fine to give for ourselves. Very often as well, like, we might have an area in our life where it's really easy to give to ourselves and areas where it's not. For a lot of women, say for instance, an important self-care of taking time to exercise and like get fresh air or go to the gym or whatever, that might be an area that you're like, oh no, I see, I'm taking care of myself because I'm doing this. And absolutely, 100% you are. I love that for you. But very often that's because we have another belief. We're like, exercising is good. Exercise makes me a better person. Or like, exercise makes my body a better. Therefore, I'm better for doing that. But it might well be that actually in other areas, like asking for more time, you know, when you just want to have time to yourself, when it's not to do anything, when it's not to schedule anything in, but having that open space of time, like having the whole house to yourself, you might be like, oh, that's an edge. Ooh, or like, you might be okay with that. But when it comes to being like, I'm going to go out for the night, you know, hubby, look after the kids, or I'm going to go away for the weekend, like, oh, that's an edge. Or you might realize that actually it's in your workplace, that actually setting better boundaries that make you feel good, you know, whether it's that there's a flexible working policy and you can work from home, but you don't, even though you know that you're a little bit of an introvert, and having a day or two a week to work from home would actually be so good for you, but the culture around you is that you've got to be chained to your desk. Very often that can be an edge for people, where like, you actually have the freedom, but you're not affording it to yourself because you perceive that other people will judge you, or other people will make assumptions around it, or other people aren't doing it, therefore if you do, you're rocking the boat. It's just really interesting for us to question our edges and to just question those pockets of, why am I not allowing myself to give myself what I need or what I want in this area? Because honestly, when we do, and when we get practiced at doing it, we just become such a lighter human being. We become such a joy to be around when we are giving to ourselves first. And probably my favorite thing about this is that when we ask ourselves, like, what do I need or what do I want, and we give it to ourselves, there's this innate self-esteem and confidence that comes from that. It's kind of like the outside-in way of genuinely loving yourself or genuinely feeling confident. Because if you act like someone who loves themselves, over time, you just start to believe it. If you start to honor your needs and your wants and give it to yourself, like, asking yourself is one thing. Having that awareness is important. It's the first step. We can't overlook it. But over time, we need to get practiced at giving ourselves those things. Because when we do, and we treat ourselves like someone who cares for themselves, we genuinely start to. So if, like, I ever talk about, you know, I don't know, the inner work, you know, like, if I talk about changing your thoughts or changing your beliefs and it just doesn't land, and you're like, ugh, that's just not for me, ugh, that's not a big deal, maybe you're more of an outside-in kind of person, where actually it's more to do with acting and doing those behaviors, doing the doing, and then the internal thoughts and the internal beliefs shift themselves. So there's just something so beautiful, and when we act like someone who really loves themselves, it just starts to incept from within us in a way that we can't even really explain. So getting clear on what we need and want and giving it to ourselves is the most important step. It's really the only step that's going to move the needle. But like another important thing, after we've started to practice giving it to ourselves, is that when we identify things that we need and we want, we need to start communicating that need or want to other people. And oftentimes that does involve requests. It involves that we ask someone to help us or do something kind for us, and that can feel really uncomfortable. Like I said earlier, there is often this period of awkwardness and resistance. You might assert a boundary or declare a want or a need, and someone might lose their shit over it. Like, there can be genuine discomfort that comes up when you're kind of rocking the boat, because if your relationships are built on you overgiving and all of a sudden you're trying to honor your needs, people can become bratty. Like, I remember early on in my motherhood journey, or it was only a couple of years ago, I have the most lovely, loving mother-in-law who is our biggest help, to be honest, really our only help. Outside of kindy, she is like our lifeline when it comes to me and my partner having time to ourselves. And because she's so kind and because she's so loving and because she comes from that generation, she has, you know, it's just an automatic habit that she puts other people first. And I started hanging around her a little bit too long and talking about this whole putting yourself first and honoring your needs and blah, blah, blah. I found myself getting really uncomfortable when she started doing that with me. When I'd be like, hey, can you have Jack? Can you do this? And she'd be like, oh, no, actually, I'm doing this thing. And I found myself having those uncomfortable emotions of just being like, what? But that's not what you normally do. Like, even though I preach this stuff, and even though I know this stuff, and even though I've gone through this stuff myself, I found myself feeling at first like resentful that she was putting herself first, because that wasn't what she normally did. And so now, obviously, I love it and I'm here for it and I want that for her. And so I'm not a little brat. You know, I don't act like the youngest child when it happens. I'm happy for her. I'm still human, of course. But even for me, there can be a discomfort that happens when we like reestablish our relationships. And so it's not a reason to not do it. It's very important that you do it, because on the other side of that sort of weird transition or those uncomfortable feelings or that awkwardness becomes a beautiful, mutually beneficial, empowering relationship that's going to last the distance. And sometimes as well, putting language to this can be really helpful. So if you've always been the giver of the relationship, if you've always given, 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 and tried to take care of everyone else, it can also be really useful when we put language to this and we say like, hey, I'm trying something new. I know this may be a bit confronting. I know this may be a bit uncomfortable, but I'm not going to do that anymore. Or I'm asking that you do this for me. Or, you know, just setting out whatever parameters you want and just having language around the fact that you're trying something new. You're learning that you need to take care of yourself. If you want to get so detailed, you might even be like, hey, I've noticed that I've been feeling really unwell, or I've been feeling sick, or I've been feeling resentful. And I've just realized that within myself, I have a pattern of giving more than I actually can, and that makes me feel bad. It's really important that in these conversations, we're not casting judgment on the other person for a pattern we've enabled. It's really important we don't say, you always take from me, I always end up giving so much, because very often if we've overgiven, that can be our innate response, is this like big F you, and be like, you did this to me, you made this happen, you've just been taking, and it's all like a very unconscious, murky, instinctive animalistic response within us. We need to take responsibility and accept this has been a pattern that we've been letting happen. And yeah, they may have enabled it, because why wouldn't they want to get some nice things? Why wouldn't they want to receive help or, you know, kindness or generosity from you? It's really important that when we approach these conversations, we acknowledge that this is a pattern that is within us, and this is a pattern that we are wanting to work on. And sometimes putting language to that, where it's language that's not blaming, that's just simply taking responsibility, is really powerful. And people want to get on board, you know, even though they might be feeling a little bit uncomfortable, intellectually they'll be on board. Like intellectually they'll be like, of course I want Shirley to take care of herself. She deserves to. And they might be feeling a little bit uncomfortable internally, but intellectually they get it. And over time they will feel it. Over time they will know it. There just might be a little bit of a rejig. You know, if you've got that friend that's always calling you at dinner time, you know, she might not want to hear that actually that's not the best time for you and actually you have certain priorities. But if you can communicate it in a way that like, hey, I'm learning to get good at giving myself what I need so that I can be the best friend, so that I can feel happy within myself, people get it. And if people don't get it, then what they are doing is that they are showing us that our relationship was set up on essentially them being the vampire, you know, us giving everything, us giving our life juice, and them just conveniently taking. And over time, the more we take care of ourselves, the more we start to become intolerant of situations that require us to only give. It starts to feel icky. It starts to feel like we're not honoring ourselves and honoring our worth, because when we get so good at giving ourselves what we need and want, it doesn't feel good to us to be in situations where we know that the only reason these friendships are still going is because we're giving it our all and they just get to show up and take whatever. It doesn't feel good. So learning to communicate what we need and want with others is really, really powerful. And it does become so much easier. Our relationships start to flow more after that sometimes initial discomfort of re-establishing boundaries and re-establishing our relationship so they're built on reciprocal foundations. And the final thing I will say about this, you know, getting clear on what we want and need and giving it to ourselves, is slowly starting to structure our life so that the things that we want and the things that we need are just part and parcel of our daily life and of our weekly life. You know, you might realize that there are little things you want to do most days or every day that make you feel good. And those things might change over time. You know, at some point it might be that you get up a little bit early, you make yourself a cup of tea, you read a book, or you do whatever. And then over time that shifts and that changes and that's fine. Or it might be, you know, taking a couple of little breaks throughout your working day and going for a walk or calling a friend or doing something like that. You know, starting to build the habit of having those micro doses of self-kindness and self-care is really, really powerful. They don't need to be big. They can totally be little. As long as it's something that makes you feel good and feels like it's giving you an essential need or an essential desire, it's perfect. And then over time, once you start getting used to doing that, looking at like, what are those bigger things I want to plan into my life so that I know that I'm feeling taken care of? Like very often that's, you know, you might have heaps of leave saved up and it's planning leave even when you don't feel like you need it. Like very often we're like, we only know we need a break when we're so far past it that we're like, I needed to take leave yesterday. So sometimes it's a matter of doing forward planning. So we're like, actually, you know what? Every couple of months, I want to take off a couple of days, or every few months, I want to take off a week, or whatever it is, and preempting our desire, because then when it comes along, it feels like a gift. Yes, we may not be burnt to the freaking hilt, but like, we're so excited to have that time. It feels like a generous gift from life. If we're not burnt out and we have leave, oh my gosh, we're having time to ourselves from overflow. That's amazing. We don't just need to do it when it's the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. Or it might be that you and your girlfriends are like, we need to catch up more often. Like, every month or every couple of months, let's all, you know, send everyone out of the house and like we'll rotate between houses and let's have a sleepover at one of our houses, or let's go away for the weekend. Or you might realize that actually travel is really important to you. So every however often you're like, I'm going to plan a trip. It doesn't need to be far away, or it could be over the other side of the world. Like starting to structure those things into your life that are giving you those things that not just your body needs, but like your soul craves, those things that make you feel expansive, that remind you that you are more than just your mundane Monday to Friday mum life, is really, really valuable. So it starts by giving ourselves what we need and want on the small things, but there is so much magic that compounds over time if we get used to structuring our life so that we're actually planning to take care of ourselves, not just in the small moments, but always in the small moments, but in the bigger things as well. Then it just becomes an expectation. And the amazing thing when we get to this level, or even when we're just at the level of asking ourselves what we need and giving it to ourselves, we become such powerful role models for the people in our life. I want to say woman in our life, because I feel like this is really a woman thing, but it's a human thing. You know, we're all kind interconnected human beings. And depending on our conditioning, I know there are many men that just want to put other people's needs first. But like, we can be such a powerful role model for the people in our lives when we get used to honoring our needs and our wants. It is such a powerful lesson to impart on our kids. It is such a powerful lesson to impart on our friends. It is such a powerful lesson to impart on our mums. It's such a powerful lesson to impart on our colleagues. Oh my God. Like, I work with a very small team of women in community development. And I am that person in the office all the time that's like, have you had a break? You know, I'm going to get some water. Do you want some? You know, like, you seem a bit stressed. Do you need to take some leave? What can I do? Like, and I like to think that there is a ripple effect that flows on of me honoring my needs. I felt a shift, you know, within the team and around me. And we can be such a light in this world if we actually feel light within ourselves. And in order to feel light within ourselves, we need to be doing those things that are good at first for our body and for our mind, but then for our heart and for our soul, those things that make us feel expansive. We might not even know why we like it, or we might not even know why we need it. You might not know why you have this sudden craving for mandarins, or why all of a sudden you want to start knitting. But following those desires, even if they're simple, especially if they're simple, is so powerful. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode today. I have loved saying it, something I'm very passionate about and has obviously affected me in many ways and will continue to do so. You know, new level, new devil. I know that as I move throughout my life, I am constantly challenged on this. Yes, I have come so far in many ways, but I will always find new edges. It's a never-ending process. We're onions in that way. But it really comes back to the fundamental of asking myself what I need and what I want and giving it to myself. And anytime we have those thoughts that crop up that are just like, that's selfish, or you don't deserve that, or whatever else, just gently being curious and being like, that's interesting. Where does that thought come from? Like, that's interesting. Why do I think that? All right, I hope you have a beautiful day. I have created an email address if you want to send any questions, or if you have any ideas for topics, or if you want to send me any comments or send me any love. And that is humaningwithmichaela@gmail.com. So that's humaningwithmichaela@gmail.com. And Michaela is spelled MICHAELA. I don't know if I've turned on the notifications for it on my phone yet. And I'm one of those people that, like, if I don't see the notification come up on my like home banner screen on my phone, I don't know I've got it. So I will go and check that they're turned on. If you haven't heard back from me in a few days, it's that I haven't seen it, but I will circle back around. So I hope you have a beautiful day as you tap into what you need and what you want. And just have a blooming beautiful day, you lovely human being.